You know that it's difficult out there if you have been out of work because of the pandemic, or perhaps you just want to move on and try and make your life a little bit better financially. You know it's difficult out there because you don't know who you're talking to half the time. You know, when I used to go on job interviews, and admittedly, my business is a little bit different than other businesses, it would be a face-to-face interview. And I thought it was odd when companies started to go to phone interviews first. Well, we're going to interview over the phone first before we decide exactly where we're going. And then that transformed it. Well, we're going to do another phone interview, and someone else will be on the line, and then maybe we'll bring you in then. I often wondered, what were these companies looking for in phone interviews? Whether you could piece a couple of sentences together, or were you really who you said you were? I never really grasped that concept, and thankfully I never had to do it, but I know it was the way of the world in business for a very long time. It still is today, but now, and this is just what floored me, when you apply for a job, particularly with bigger companies, you may be being interviewed for your initial interview by a robot, AI as they call it, artificial intelligence. So if that's the case, and it seems to be gaining some traction, what should you do initially if there's a company that you really want to, you know, work for, or a company to get to know? What should you really do at that point to make sure that whatever you're presenting to your prospective employer through a robot, what should you do? What kind of words should you say? How should you handle something like that? Get used to it. It's coming. Somebody that knows about that is the CEO and founder of her own company. Jackie Ducci has been on with us many times before, and it's great to have her back with us today. Jackie, how are you on this glorious Saturday?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
I'm well, but I'm a little perplexed by this whole thing where if I make an effort to get hired by a company, my first interaction may be with some sort of device as opposed to an actual human being. How did we come to this?
Well, I believe that companies are doing this because it's cheap and it's fast. I mean, that's really the truth. So particularly with larger companies, they could put an ad out for a role and literally get thousands of resumes in response. So to have an AI software kind of go through those and just at least whittle down the pile as a first round saves a ton of time, and it's a lot less expensive than paying a person to do it. And I think that that's really why we're seeing so much of that happen now, especially during the pandemic when, as we know, even more people are out there looking and applying.
So an HR person doesn't want to be bothered with the initial look at resumes or applications or whatever. In fact, companies, I see here, Hilton and Unilever are two of the companies that are using AI, and an estimated 83% of companies use it in some way or another. So the HR department, which like most departments has been pared down to maybe one or two people, they don't want to be bothered with that, right?
Well, yeah, and I hate to say this, but it's almost kind of a waste of their time. So I saw a statistic recently that said, for every job posting out there, there's only 2-3% of those resumes that actually get called in to interview. And the reason is because most people that apply for things are just incredibly unqualified. They have absolutely no background that's relevant to the job, if you can believe it. So for a large company like that, when they've got piles of hundreds or thousands to go through, again, for a software to just kind of be like, okay, here's your top handful, and then a person steps in and says, okay, you know, we have to go through that huge pile, and now we can just start making phone calls. It really is a huge time saver.
Well, there was this game has been going on for a while. I remember back in the late 90s, when you put if you took your resume and sent it to a company, there were buzzwords you should have put in there. Mm-hmm. I lived at the time in the .com corridor of the world in Northern Virginia, and you know, even something like near and then pick whatever .com it wanted to be, it would automatically trigger some sort of response. So mm-hmm. Now if you're up against this computer, this artificial piece of intelligence, there have to be ways that you can not trick that computer, but just get it to play the game a little bit more in your favor, right?
For sure. And, you know, keywords are important. And I always say to people, the job description is really, it can give you a lot of clues. So, for example, if you're applying for something and they stress that there's a software that they want candidates to be well-versed in. If you have that experience and it's not on your resume, that AI system is probably going to pass over you because they just want people that have that. That would be a qualifier or a disqualifier. So, you know, paying attention to those kind of details, there's not really blanket advice about, oh, here are the keywords that always work. I think it's about which ones are targeted for that specific opportunity.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you deal with that? I guess walk for some, and again, this is new to me. It doesn't mean it's new to everybody. But if let's say I'm applying for a job, and I'll just pick the company out because it's the biggest company we have here in town, Procter & Gamble. And let's say they're using this kind of technique to hire prospective employees. Is my first interaction with them on a website with a list of questions? How does it work?
You're never really going to know. And truthfully, every company's process is so different. You know, it's really hard for me to say, and I just tell people be sort of prepared for anything. But I think if you really think through your application and you make sure that whatever you're putting on paper is targeted for that opportunity, like you're hitting the things that they're talking about in the job description. Titles, that's another really big thing people need to think about. Like if you're applying for an executive assistant position, I mean, probably you should have a title on your resume that says EA. If you there could be a, oh, it's not a match, whether it's a person or a computer looking at it. I mean, these are basic things, but it's really, really critical.
The hiring process, I mean, there's so many things you have to do to maintain the credibility of the company, make sure there is no bias in the hiring process. I would guess that AI would be unbiased simply because it's a machine. But most machines are only good as the information that's programmed into them in the first place. So bias would still remain here, right?
Yeah, you're hitting on a really interesting point. And I believe that bias is a part of the hiring process no matter what, and it always will be. But I have heard that some of these AI systems, they learn by data. So like when a company makes a certain number of hires, the AI is picking up on different trends of, you know, things that those candidates bring to the table. And I read somewhere recently, there's an example where a company just happened to hire a couple people in a row that had been college athletes, and it was just a random coincidence. But then that system starts thinking, oh, you know, athletes are the type of people that we want. And they were putting them at the top of the pile, and it took a person having to step in and be like, what is going on here? So I think it's sort of an odd thing and almost a dangerous direction when, like, hiring is so human, and when you take the human element out of that, it's a little scary. Like,
yeah.
The direction go down, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine this. I don't know if you heard the intro, but when this whole concept of we're going to a phone interview before we actually do an interview, to me that just struck that as odd. I guess they were trying to weed out, you know, whether or not the person applying for the job was actually qualified for the job. I'm sure there was a certain technique that was used on the phone, but where I came from, which is not that long ago, but it's a little bit back down the road, it was always, you know, here's an application. Let's see if we can get so-and-so in for an interview and a face-to-face interview. But it is the wealth, what you're saying is the wealth of resumes or applications that are coming into a company, some of whom may not be qualified. They're only looking at the dollar sign, or they're only looking at maybe moving up some sort of stratosphere they're not in. It's the wealth of resumes or applications that come in that has fostered all of this, right?
That's a huge part of it. And I mean, I'm personally a huge fan of the phone interview because I have had to do that myself for many years to whittle down, you know, piles of applications. In a phone interview, you're looking for certain basic things. It could be seemingly as trivial as somebody's location, like where do they live? You're looking for salary expectation, just certain details that would rule them out. So that way you're not spending an hour in person with somebody that might otherwise be really good, but if it's just not going to be a match, at least then you know in 5 minutes and you can move on to the next. So again, to me, it's kind of just a time saver.
Yeah. Jackie Ducci is our guest, CEO and founder of Ducci Associates. She's got offices in West Palm Beach in Connecticut. I hope you're in West Palm Beach at this time of the year. But she's also the author of Almost Hired, What's Really Standing Between You and the Job You Want, which is also the title of her podcast, which you can find on iTunes and everywhere. But what I like about your company, though, is 90% of the candidates that you place were matched to positions they would thrive in, as opposed to, oh, here's Joe, let's get him a job here. you don't set your clients up for failure. And I think a lot of that, when you go through some of the companies that might be competitors of yours, they really don't care. They just want to get this person placed, and that way they can use that to build more clients coming into their company. But you're not going to put somebody in a position to fail.
No, and we do not use AI, that's for sure. Everything we do is extremely one-on-one, and that's why the track
record. You don't use AI, and you've got an office in West Palm Beach. What's wrong with this? That's fine.
Oh, no.
How do you think we come out of all of this when hopefully the job situation is what it was before the pandemic, when there were more job opportunities than candidates, when the unemployment numbers were just at rock bottom low? Do we ever get back to where we were, say, in December of 2019, or are those days gone, in your opinion?
Gosh, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, so it's really hard to say. I mean, my hope is that we will get back there, but I really don't know. And I think every industry is going to be different, frankly, so kind of hard to say.
Yeah, it's also, regardless of the industry, working from home has been, very prevalent in the last 18 months. And with that comes challenges. I mean, you're not necessarily in face-to-face meetings. You're in Zoom meetings and things like that. And concentration sometimes can wane when you're not on the job. I think that's the brave new world, though. I don't think, and again, this maybe is a little bit off topic than what we were discussing, but I think working from home is going to become the norm for a lot of people that don't necessarily have to go into the office. And with that comes a lot of challenges, Zoom meetings and things like that. What are you telling your clients, some of whom I'm sure are repeat customers, about just the way business is going to be conducted?
Well, it is very interesting. I mean, I do think this work remote stuff is here to stay, and people have learned over the last year that they can do their job effectively in a lot of cases working from home. So it's interesting now when we recruit for a new position, how many candidates, that's one of the first things they ask us is, you know, is this opportunity something that will enable me to work remote? And if the answer is no, they just don't want to even pursue it at all. So, you know, and again, it depends on industry and all that, but as far as our clients go, we have been encouraging them to be more open to that, unless it's, you know, construction or something where they just can't. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to attract really good talent unless that's part of the package.
Yeah, that's what I think makes your business so fascinating, is that, sure, people have to they have to be on their feet in different ways with the way they present themselves, how they conduct themselves in business. But you not only have to be that way for the companies that you're trying to place them with, you have to be a step ahead of where everything is going. I don't know how you do it. I really don't, because as you said earlier, nobody knows where any of this is going.
Yeah.
But certainly not going to be business as usual, that's for sure.
No. And a lot of what we do is just, you know, listening to people and just reporting back, you know. A position's open, we're finding people that are qualified, and we just relay the feedback, you know, what they're looking for to these companies, and oftentimes they can kind of make it work, and sometimes they can't, but we can kind of be eyes and ears, I guess, out there.
Jackie Ducci, we talked about your book, Almost Hired, What's Really Standing Between You and the Job You Want, and the title of your podcast is Almost Hired, but if somebody wants to get a hold of you right now, they don't want to wait, do you have like a Twitter account? What do you have? How do people find you?
So the best place is our website. It's DucciAssociates.com, D-U-C-C-I. There's a contact form right on the page, so they can shoot me a message there. Or my email is Jackie@DucciAssociates.com.
Or wandering the beach, perhaps, in Palm Beach. One never knows.
Not for too much longer, but for now.
Jackie, thank you so much for your time. Stay well. We'll do this again, I promise. Always a great guest, always a great show when you're on. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.